If you would stay right there in Judges chapter 2. I want to turn here to Judges chapter 2. And I want you to think in these terms. The souls of the children. Maybe you could even think in terms of the souls of our children. I want you to hear about what happens over time. We won't be the first time and may not even be the last. Notice these verses here in Judges chapter 2. Look at verses 6 through 10. When Joshua had dismissed the people, the sons of Israel went each to his inheritance to possess the land. God had given them this great land, and they had done exactly what that needed to be done. The land is theirs. God gave it to them just as He promised. And so they kind of release and they go to their own territories. Remember the 2.5 tribes that are on the east side of the Jordan River? They go back to theirs. Those who are on the west side, they go to theirs. Everything is good. Verse 7. The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, who had seen all the great work of the Lord which He had done for Israel. The people continued to serve the Lord as long as Joshua was there, and the elders that survived Joshua had seen the great things that God had done with them. They stay faithful to the Lord. Then, verse 8. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110, and they buried him in the territory of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. It says, everything has gone just the way that you would expect it to. Joshua reaches the ripe old age of 110, passes away, dies. He's buried right where his own territory is. Notice what happens next. Here's verse 10. This is why we're here. All that generation also were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which He had done for Israel. As that generation passed away, they lost the relationship. After that generation of Joshua and then the one that's described here, now comes a generation. And notice the way they're described in verse 10. They don't know the Lord, and they don't know the workings that He had done in Israel and for Israel. There came a generation that didn't know the Lord. Maybe you think in terms of your own generation. Do they really know the Lord? They know what He's done. So all of a sudden here comes a generation that doesn't know the Lord. Doesn't know how He interacts with His people. What He does to be of great benefit for those of faith and the working of God. And all of a sudden, here comes the book of Judges. If you've already read through the book of Judges, we're going to deal with a little bit of it tonight. You see people get themselves into trouble time and time and time again because they don't know the Lord, they don't know His ways, and they just bring it up on themselves. So what about our children now? What about the times that we live in? How do you consider the souls of your children? Look over to the New Testament. Let's look at Jesus first. Mark chapter 10, page 1007. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. Page 1007. Look at how Mark shares his story that happened. The apostles are there, the disciples. Jesus is there. Notice what's going on. And they were bringing children to Him so that He might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. Here are parents, here are disciples who are bringing their children to Jesus just so that Jesus could touch them. You think in terms of just to be with Jesus, they bring them. And notice, here's the disciples. They rebuke those that bring their children to the Lord. Disciples say, no, this is not right. They're not worthy to be with Jesus. He handles adult problems. Notice the next verse. What does Jesus think of all this? Verse 14. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Don't get in the way. It says he was indignant. He says, you've robbed your children of the honor they should have to come and know the Lord. He tells the disciples, they're the ones that he's indignant at. Why are you getting in the way? Allow it to happen. Permit it to happen. If you take another read here in verse 14, he says, do not hinder them. Notice it's not the parents that are doing the hindering here. It's the disciples. They're standing in the way of these children coming to be with Jesus. He even goes on, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. There's a comparison we'll look at here in a minute. Notice how it continues verse 15. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all. He says, maybe you don't realize this, disciples, but there's an aspect of these children that you need to have. And here you are hindering them from coming to me? What do you think you're doing? Verse 16. And he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands on them. Can you imagine what it would be like as a parent to see Jesus take your child in his arms, to hold them in his hands, to touch them, and to bless them? Can you imagine that in your head? What would you think as a child, as a parent? You go through the whole gamut. Is that not a story you would tell your child later? When they grew up, wouldn't you say, now I know you were too young to remember, but Jesus actually held you in his arms and he blessed you. Would that mean anything to them? It would depend on whether faith had been instilled within these children or not. So notice this. Does Jesus care about children? If Jesus cares about children and their souls, should we care about our children and their souls? We're called to imitate Jesus. And if you take another note here, we had better be real careful if we're keeping children away from the Lord. Now notice this. The warning here is not to the parents. The warning is to the disciples. So some people may think of this lesson and go, oh, this is for parents with kids. This really lesson isn't for me. Yeah, it is. It's for all of us. If we're a parent, we'd better not get in the way and hinder our children from coming to the Lord to know Him, to know His ways, to know His works and what He does. And if we don't have children of our own, we better make sure that we don't hinder the children from coming to the Lord. To get in the way with what we do and how we go about it. Let's take a look at another thought with Jesus. Look back at Matthew chapter 18, page 977. Matthew chapter 18. Look down in verse 4. There's been a conversation among the 12 about who is the greatest. And then finally they come to Jesus and they ask him, who's the greatest? And I'm sure they were thinking one of them had to be it. Jesus calls for a child. The child is attentive to listen and obey and comes to sit right there among them. Jesus has a statement to make about this child. This one child in particular. Look at verse 4, Matthew 18, 4. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Here's a child that just listened for the voice of Jesus, humbled himself, and obeyed. That's all this child has done. He says, that's enough for you to be the greatest in the kingdom, if you can just have that. You can just listen to the voice of Jesus, humble yourself to be obedient, you can be the greatest. That's exactly what's in Jesus. He's attentive to the voice of God, and he humbles himself, and he's obedient, even to the point of death. And he is the greatest in the kingdom. Verse 5. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. How do you look at children? Do you look at them in terms of, well, I'm really just not good with kids? Well, maybe we ought to get better at it. And not just write it off like it means nothing. Here's Jesus. He looks at the souls of children. He says, there's value there. Don't ignore it. Don't push them away from me. He says, you receive a child, you're receiving me. What are we supposed to teach our children? To humble themselves. To listen to the voice of Jesus. And to be obedient. That's the lesson. Teaching a child, don't just do it your way. By the way, this word that's used here for child in verse 4 is a Greek word that means it's a child who has yet to reach puberty. We're not talking about old grown children here. We're talking about young children. What's our relationship with our children? Verse 6. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. How serious is it? Listen to Jesus' instruction. This is not a laughable joke. This is the reality of seriousness with the souls of children. If you want to cause one of these children to stumble, he says, you take them away from being humble toward God. You take them away from being attentive to the voice of Jesus. You take them away from obedience to God, to Jesus. Jesus says, let me tell you what would be better for you. It would be better for you to tie a heavy millstone around your neck. And we're dealing in terms of hundreds of pounds, maybe even thousands of pounds, in these millstones. You should tie it around your neck and go throw yourself in the depths of the sea. Don't throw it by the shore, throw it into the deep part. What's Jesus saying? If you're not going to care about the souls of children, it'd be better if you weren't here. He's not just talking to parents. He's not just talking to disciples. He's talking all the way around here. For all of us. Consider this. Bible class teachers. You influence children. Do you lead them closer to Jesus? Do you teach them about the works that God did so they're not an ignorant generation like the one that followed after Joshua? Do you teach them to know the Lord and how He works? Do we teach them to be humble whenever Jesus commands us to do something that at first we don't really want to do? That we would show courage and faith to continue? I remember growing up, I had a lady who I thought she was one of the oldest women to be alive. She was probably only in her 60s. Don't shoot me. I hated going to her Bible classes. I hated them. I dreaded them. I feared that woman. She probably weighed about 80 pounds. In 3 years, we had to outline the Bible from beginning to end. We had to memorize verses every week, and I dreaded it. Did my parents tell me, it's okay, you don't have to go? No. They love my soul enough, say, get to know Miss Roberts. And nowadays, I look back at her, and she was probably the best teacher that I ever had growing up. If you teach Bible classes, If you teach children even outside of this building, realize that what you're doing is of great value. If we'll put before these children what leads them to Jesus, to know God, to know His works, to humble ourselves, to be submissive to the Word of Jesus and obedient, to come to faith. That starts at a young age. At the same time, as a Bible teacher, we can start to lead them astray from these things. We can cause them to stumble. All of a sudden, these times that are dedicated to learning about God, to use them for something different, we're becoming the hindrance rather than the help. Maybe you think of it in this way with a different illustration. As grandparents, do you cherish the souls of your grandchildren? Do you cherish them enough to show them the ways of the Lord? We spend a lot of money and a lot of activities on a lot of things. When's the last time you bought something to help teach your children about the Lord? Your grandchildren about the Lord? See, this affects all of us, not just a handful. Maybe even go a further way down the road with this. You say, I don't have any children. Find some to take in. Find some to adopt a relationship with. I don't mean that they live in your home. Find some children to start up that relationship with. I guarantee their parents will not mind if there's someone else to help teach them the ways of God. Are we mindful about the souls of our children? Let's look at one more passage. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Page 968. Matthew chapter 10, look down at verse 37. We see how much Jesus longs for this relationship with our children. We see the seriousness that Jesus says there is in this relationship. It'd be better for you to have a heavy millstone hung around your neck and be thrown to the depths of the sea if we're not going to look after these things. You see what happens whenever we don't know the Lord and His ways and His works. They fell away from God in Judges. There's a big cycle going on there. Notice here, Matthew chapter 10, look at verse 37. Here's Jesus speaking. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Says, if you love mom and dad more than me, you're not worthy of me. Do we instruct our children to love God more than they love us? Do we tell them, listen to God before you listen to me? Because that's the reality of it. Then at the end of verse 37, He says, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Parents make a lot of sacrifices for their children. We run them around to all kinds of events and activities. And sometimes we lead them away from the Lord. Activities in and of themselves are not wrong. Sometimes we start showing more devotion to the activities of our children than we do to Jesus. Every once in a while you get to have a conversation with parents. In gentleness and out of love. You say, why do you put these activities ahead of your relationship with Jesus? And sometimes the response is, look, my child made a commitment to be there. Didn't you make a commitment to the Lord? Are you going to show them what commitment really is to the Lord? To keep your word out of devotion to the Lord? Do we ever get sidetracked away from that devotion? Jesus says, if you love your son or your daughter more than you love me, you're not worthy of me. Listen to what He's saying. If you let your children's activities run your life, ahead of a devotion to God? You're not worthy of me. As parents, as grandparents, as Bible class teachers, as friends, do we care for the souls of our children? Isn't it our desire to be just like those parents who brought their children to Jesus saying, I want you to be with Jesus and to bless Him? And that's not something that just happens at Bible classes and devotionals and things like that. What's going on in our homes? As grandparents, as parents, as friends, are we really devoting ourselves to Jesus with our children? To really love their souls? When David had committed a sin, and his newborn son was sick, on the seventh day he dies. David picks himself up. He's not going to fast anymore. And his servants are so curious, they were kind of afraid that David would take his own life whenever he found out that his child had passed. And they asked him. David says in 2 Samuel 12:23, he says, the child's not going to come back. The child's not coming to me, but I can go to the child. You look at the souls of children, and David says, to have a child die and go be with the Lord, isn't that kind of what we long for as parents, to take our children to the Lord? As they're raised up and they grow? And you think in those terms, if anybody here has lost a child at a young age, have you considered that child is with the Lord? It's right where I would have taken them if they were still here now, to come to know Him and to know His ways. And in doing that, to come to the realization of what we need to do now. Does the Lord have a place in your home with your children? Not just the place, but the place of priority and devotion. To where I'm not one who's causing my children to stumble away from the Lord, but trying to grow this relationship of faith. Some of you may be thinking, my children are grown. They are grown. They are no longer at home. There's some here today who have children who are in their 60s. Will you commit your children to the Lord? Will you seek to do what's best for their soul? That's the same love. It's the same devotion. Or do I pull myself away from what is right and cater to my children, even at an old age? He says, if we do, you're not worthy of me. Jesus draws that line straight forward. There's no way around it. It's reality. Do we care about the souls of our children, no matter how young or how old they are? As a parent, we look back and we see mistakes. Thank the Lord that He is forgiving, that He is gracious and kind to us. Maybe we come to the Lord late in life and we wish we had it to do over again. Start today. Start with what you know about the Lord. Help teach and instruct so that they won't be like that generation that grew up not knowing the Lord, not knowing His works. Make sure that we don't cause them to stumble and get in the way. Or else Jesus will have a rebuke for us too. Let's learn to let the Lord reign in our lives and in the lives of our children.